Good morning.
My name is Xavier Bright, and I am the youth minister here. And I had the privilege of having a D Now this weekend, and I got to see some pretty amazing things in our students. And one in particular is going to come up here and share what happened to him. Don't be alarmed. I already talked to him. He knows who he is. but right now, I'd like to call Matthew Coleman up to share what happened to him. So,
yeah, all right. So my name is Matthew. Let me start off with that. Let me say this. Something that I took from this week that I think affected me was stop making excuses. I feel like once you come to that conclusion that you are like just knowing, like understanding with your heart that Jesus, that man, he carried his cross, beaten and tired, and he died just so we have a chance to go to heaven. I feel like if you taking that and that doesn't affect you to where you just want to spread the gospel, I mean, that's a problem. Like, I feel like you're either going to be an all-in Christian or not one at all. There's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian, you know what I'm saying? So, I feel like us as a Christian body, we can spread, you can feel the Holy Spirit in the church room, but it's a whole different story when we step out the church doors. It's different. Like, Christians, I feel like we need to start standing up and start spreading the gospel, because if we don't, nobody will. You know, we already in a lost world. You know, I feel like we just making it worse by not saying anything at all. Yeah, so I feel like just stop with the excuses. I mean, you can say, well, Matthew, I don't know enough about the Bible to spread. Well, I mean, it's 1,440 minutes in a day, and you can't spend 10 minutes engaging in God's word. I mean, come on. It's 24 hours in a day and you can't spend 10 minutes engaging in God's word. I think that's a problem that we need to address, and I feel like just stop with the excuses so we can step out into the world, step out into society and start seeing change. Amen.
Amen. We could go home now. We're done. We're done. Oh, man. Thank you, Matthew. If you are not moved by his passion, you got to check your heartbeat. I mean, it is so amazing to see what God is doing in these students right here. I can't, like, I'm almost getting emotional right now just thinking about what God is doing and how he's moving, and to see all of these kids respond to the gospel message. I just want to say thank you to whoever had a part in D Now, whether you cooked or you brought food, or my leaders spending the weekend with some smelly kids. Thank you. Sincerely. But again, I said, my name is Xavier Bright, and I'm the youth minister. And for those of you who don't know me or you see me in passing, I'm very introverted until you get to know me. And then I become a little lively. But most people who, stop it. Most people who see me or meet me first, they're like, I didn't think you liked me at first. You know, you were kind of standoffish or blah, 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 this, this, and that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't like small talk. I get awkward a little bit. And it's not you, it's me. I promise. It's just me. But I don't get excited about too much. I get excited about my family. I get excited about Chipotle burritos. I get excited about the Los Angeles Lakers, and I get excited about the gospel. And we're here for the last one, the gospel. You see, this gospel message took me 8 years ago from being a little boy and turned me into a man. This gospel took me from living in my sin and dwelling in my sin and brought me to light. This gospel took me from merely existing and gave me life. And if you are not moved by the gospel message, sometimes you don't just think about it and come to tears. You got to check yourself. You got to check yourself. So today we're going to be in John 16, verses 16 through 22. I'm going to go through seven verses. And we're going to be talking about Jesus turning our sorrow into joy. We're going to be talking about Jesus turning our sorrow into joy. And if I'm honest, this is something that I struggle with a lot. Finding my joy in Christ. If I'm honest, a lot of times I find myself worshiping my worries. I find myself worshiping my insecurities. I find myself worshiping my anxieties. I find myself worshiping all these things other than Christ. And that's a part of being human, I get it. But until we find our joy in Christ, until we find our rest, until we find our hope in Christ, we are going to stay in our sorrows. We are going to stay in our grief. We are going to stay in all of these things. And the reality is that I come to a dead-end street, right? Like no road left. And I find myself in a position to where it feels like an all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God appears to be non-existent. Appears to be non-existent. The disciples found themselves in this very same situation. So what do we do with this paradigm? What do we do with this reality? What do we do when we are overwhelmed in our insecurities? What do we do when we are overwhelmed in our anxieties? Hopefully we answer that question today. Just giving you a disclaimer, we will answer that question today. So I'm going to read 16 through 22, then I'm going to come back up and we're going to chop it up. Verse 16, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourself, what I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is given birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So what we have here is Jesus addressing his disciples hours before he's arrested. Hours. You see, at this point, let me set the table for you. At this point, he's already communicated with them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's already communicated with them that he is the true vine. He's already promised the Holy Spirit and that it is to our advantage that he goes away and the Holy Spirit comes. He's already washed his disciples' feet. He's already done all of these things. He's already broken bread and drank of the cup in remembrance of himself. He's already done all of this. And by the way, he just tells them that he's about to be betrayed, denied, and put to death. Talk about a shockwave for his disciples. Talk about being in an overwhelming, an area that is so big, a situation that is so big and so overwhelming that they couldn't even grasp it. Talk about being in that situation. Just because just a few days before, they were breaking off palm branches and singing Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Then come to this, and he says he's about to die. Shockwave. Overwhelmed. And he says, in a little while, you won't see me. Now, he says this five different times. This is the fifth time. He says it in John 7. He says it in John 12, 13, and 14. And he says it again right here. But the difference with this time is that he just told them that he's about to be betrayed and he's about to die. So what do the disciples do? They start asking each other, what does he mean? I'm going to say that again. They start asking each other, what does he mean? Let me ask you something. Whenever you're in an overwhelming situation, whenever you are worshiping your worries, where do you go? Where do you go? Do you go to Jesus? Or do you go to other things? Do you go to your spouse, social media, your success, money, living through your kids? Where do you go? Because the reality is, where we go, that is what we worship. Our go-to, or as Timothy Keller would say, our counterfeit gods, whenever we are in a situation that is overwhelming and that is the first place we go, that is our God. And in this moment, they were in a situation to where Jesus was right in front of them. Yet they went to each other. Right in front of them. And they started asking each other the questions. What does he mean? Their situation got in the way of Jesus being real in that moment for them. And oftentimes we find ourselves in this same position. That our situation gets so overwhelming that going to Jesus in that moment is an afterthought. We go to Jesus when it's all good. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. But our character is shown in the hard times of who we are in Christ. It shows in the hard times. It doesn't show when everything is going easy. So we're going to go to verse 19 and verse 20. It says, Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you were asking yourself? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. So look at this. In this moment, Jesus is about to be arrested. And his main concern in this moment is his disciples. He's about to put the weight of the world on his back. And he's worried about his disciples and what they're going through. and their grief and their sorrow. He wants to turn their sorrow into joy in this moment. He's not worried about himself. If you are going through something, if you find yourself in a place to where it's like, I can't take another step, God, I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm serving, I'm in community, but I can't feel you. Why are you silent? Have you not seen that I haven't smiled in weeks? Do you not see what I'm going through? Do you not hear my prayers? Do you not see any of this? Where are you? In that moment, his concern is still you and your sorrow turning into joy. Thank you, Lord. Does that mean you're going to wake up to rosy circumstances? No. Does that mean that life is going to be easy? No. Because he says it. He says, you will weep. You will lament. You will have sorrow. You will have grief. You will go through these things. You will have to endure this. And does he say in that moment that your joy or your sorrow might turn to joy? No. He says your sorrow will turn to joy. It's a promise. And just like the gospel call, it's a summons. It's not an invitation. I hear that a lot, like the gospel is an invitation. No, it's a summons. It's saying, repent. It's not saying, oh, if you feel like repenting, no, no. It's saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is a summons. So when that same light, when he says that your sorrow will turn to joy, he's saying your sorrow will turn to joy. It's not an accident. Your pain isn't an accident. It's building character for his glory. And then in 21, he goes into a beautiful illustration. And he says, when a woman is given birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Okay, so it's really hit home for me. Because not this past birth that happened 13 days ago for you. For those of you who don't know, my wife gave birth on 610 South in a moving vehicle. And I was at home getting things ready to go. And she calls me and she's like, hey, I just had Kaya. And I'm like, what? And she's like, I just had Kaya. And I asked a silly question because I was in shock. But I was trying to be cool because I was like, you know, I don't want her to think that I'm freaking out because obviously she's freaking out. So I was like, are you going to the hospital? Yeah, babe, that's where we were headed in the first place. But so I missed that one. I was on my way. I was behind her, but I missed that one. But the one before Kaya, Zavi, I remember that one vividly. She had been laboring early in the morning, and she was just taking it, you know, like the contractions. She was just, all right. And then 3 minutes go by, all right. But then, and those of you who've given birth or men being in the room, there's this period that they call transition to where it gets intense and kind of scary. And that's kind of what they portray in the shows and in the movies where they're, you know, they're yelling and stuff. This is kind of, this is that, the transition period. And in this moment, Lauren was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm done. I'm tapping out. And I wanted to be like, I didn't, but I wanted to be like, it's kind of too late for that. Like, she's coming whether you like it or not. Like, you, there's no mulligan. Like, it's not happening. But at 6:30 in the morning, she calms down. And I remember we're playing worship music and How Deep the Father's Love for Us comes on. And in that moment, she calms down and she pushes Zavi out. And before the doctor could, like, hike, no, it's not a hike, it's like, before the doctor could catch, I don't know what you call it. It's not a hike, I don't know what that, it's not a hike, it's not a football, so, I don't know. Forget that boy. Okay, so before the doctor could catch my son, Lauren caught him and brought him up and held him. And everything was done for her. Like, all of the pain that she just endured, over. And it was nothing but joy in that room. This is the illustration he uses. That life is going to suck sometimes. We're going to grieve. We're going to have sorrow. We are going to have to endure pain. But at the end of the day, joy comes for those of us who are in Christ. Joy comes. And we'll remember everything that we've had to endure. We'll remember it. But a billion years, a trillion years down the line, it's not going to matter. Because we'll be in the presence of our Savior. And not having to deal with this anymore. Any longer. And then in verse 22, he says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. No one. No one will take your joy from you. Now, I just want to break down what joy is. So where do you find your joy? But first, before you understand what joy is, you have to realize what it's not. You see, joy isn't happiness. It's not happiness. Joy is not some bubbly feeling. Joy is not based on your circumstance. Happiness is based off of your circumstance. Happiness is about a feeling. Happiness is about my wants, my needs, my desires. Happiness is conditional. Happiness is you meet my expectation and I feel good. And you see, the reality is that the church, the fact that our divorce rate is the same as people outside of the church should be a red flag. I wasn't even going to go there, but I'm already here. But that's a problem. That is a huge problem. You see, because we're basing our marriage off of happiness. So whenever you stop meeting my expectation, whenever you stop making me feel good, I walk away. Your marriages are not primarily for you to be happy. Your marriages are to make each other holy. That is the primary goal for marriage. It's not about making each other happy. That's not the primary. It's about making each other holy. I get tired of hearing, you know what? No. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church does not translate into happy wife, happy life. It does not translate into that. I'm sorry. It needs to be holy wife, healthy life. That's what it needs to be. But we are too busy leading off of our feelings rather than our faith. We are putting happiness expectation in joyful orientation, which means we are leading with our feelings rather than our faith. It's not about how you feel. It's about a covenant. Coming together. It is a covenant. And if that hurts you or you're offended by it, I'm sorry. But I'm really not. That's the reality of the situation. That wasn't even in my notes. That was for free. I don't even know where I was going. That's happiness. That's where I was at. Okay, happiness. No, okay. So joy is not about who you are. Joy is about whose you are. Having joy in Christ, that is what it's about. See, joy is not the absence of problems. Joy is the presence of God in the midst of those problems. We're all going to have problems. But having true joy is about having Christ in the midst of those problems. Finding our joy in Christ. Finding our identity in Christ. Not in our situation. Problems are going to be there. Joy never leaves. For those of us who are in Christ, it's going to be hard, but it's there with the problems, in the midst of the problems. And you see, the thing about this is the thing that brought the disciples the greatest grief and sorrow later brought the disciples their greatest joy. And that's the cross. The cross is the center of Christian joy. No one or no thing can take your joy because joy is rooted in the realities of the cross. Jesus wants our joy to be as full and as dominating as our sorrow has been. And as the band makes their way up, I'm going to say one more thing. Whenever we talk about Easter, we always talk about Friday, the fact that Christ, he died, he put on the weight of the sins of the world for everybody, all of humanity, past, present, and future, and he died in our place. We always talk about that. Then we always talk about Sunday. Death being defeated, him rising, resurrecting, crushing the serpent's head. But we never talk about Saturday. Think about what the disciples were going through on Saturday. At the height of their sorrow, of their grief, no answers. None. But this should let us know that just because God is silent sometimes doesn't mean he's absent. Just because we go days without hearing him doesn't mean he's gone. Are you in the midst of a Saturday to where you can't feel or you can't hear God? Brother, sister, I'm here to tell you Sunday's coming. If you are in the middle of your Saturday, Sunday's coming. And as we come into our time of response, I kind of want to do something a little different. Husbands, wives, pray with each other. If you need prayer, we're here at the altar. But pray with each other. Are you going through a Saturday right now? Pray over each other. Cultivate each other. Guard each other. Guard your kids. If you need prayer, we're here. But I want to challenge you in praying with your spouses in this moment. Father God, we love you. God, we thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that even in the midst of our Saturdays, that you provided Sunday for us. Father, move in this place. Father, rekindle that joy. Lord, allow us to stop worshiping our worries. Father, get us through our sorrows. Get us through our griefs. Get us through our troubles. Get us through our insecurities and our anxieties. And let us know that Sunday's coming. We love you and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.